Okay, we're starting Tafan Al Khalaf Tawa. It says like this, Kalim, Shemushtamshim, who might they are, Kalim that you use right on the fire, to go in Shvudim Askalos, Shvudim Aspit, and Askalos, Rashi says, is a grill. Rashi is a French word, it means a grill. Uchiyot to them, and things that are like that, where you put the food right onto the Kli that's on the fire, Tzrichim, Libun, you have to leave it to them. So this din is really coming from the Gemara. It seems innocent enough that you have to do a leave to these kelim, but really there's a shayla, which is what we're going to talk about, which is like this.
Yeah.
The Gemara asks a steer between two mishnayos. The Gemara asks a steer between two mishnayos. One mishnah says this din that Shudin and Askalois need to have leave. That's what one mishnah says. In fact, the Gemara that there's another mission that says there's a mission on Avodah Zarah. In fact, the Gemara that there's a mission in Zvachim, I think it is, that says that those things need only Hagol. That's the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara has a whole bunch of possible answers to that question. That's the Gemara's deal. The Gemara gives a bunch of answers. The answer that we accept with Halacha is why one says Libra and one says Hagol is that the spit that was used for Kachim was Balei Heter. When you cook the kachim in it, you were allowed to eat those kachim. Meaning for a kohen, you were allowed to eat those kachim. So for him, it was Balei Heter. Therefore, you don't have to do libun to it. You can catch it by doing Hagolah. And in Avodah Zarah, when you put a treif spit, there it was used for Isser. Therefore, you have to do libun. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. By the Gemara's words, Terevola. Therefore, you're allowed to do Hagolah instead of libun. That's what the Gemara says. So before we go on, it's just worth knowing the Chavistah says, where did the Gemara come up with this chiluk? Shouldn't say that. The Gemara is saying the answer of theory and Mishnayos. Where did the Mishnayos come up with such a din that there's a din of Heter Bala? We're going to talk about reasons why Heter Bala is different. But where did they come up with such an idea? So the Chavistah says, maybe there are others who say it also, that it comes from Pesukim. There's two parashas in the Torah where it talks about Kashrim. One is the parasha of Klei Midyan, where they got Kelim from Goyim, and it says, Kol Davar Sheyavo Be'esh Tavir Be'esh V'Tohir. It says that you have the way you Kashrim something that was used right on the fire is you do leave into it. So it says the din of Libun. The other parsha, which is by Kachim, Kalim that are used for Kachim, he says, if you look in the parsha, it doesn't say a word about Libun. It tells you about Hagolah, and it tells you to have a Klicheris, you should break it. It doesn't say a word about Libun. So from there, the Mishnah is being Medayik, and from the Gemara is explaining that what's the difference between one parsha and the other. Instead of saying that we go in one parsha or the other, we say, no, by Kachim, you never have to do Libun if it was used on the fire, but by Isser, you would have to do. Okay, I should be explaining that the reason why you have to kashrim from kachrim is because tomorrow it's going to be nicer. Today I'm allowed to eat the carbon, tomorrow I'm not allowed to eat it, so tomorrow the bleas that are in there are nicer. So I'm kashriming the kli to get the bleas out so I can use it again for something else. Okay? So the Chavistah learns that it's a deep from the psukim. That's what the Mishnah is known as, a deep from the psukim. Okay? And there are others who compare this din of Heterabola to the, just in concept, to the din of Nachbarnat. Nachbarnat by Heter, there is a kula of Nachbarnat, and by Issa there is not. Okay, and that's really a shayla in Tafan Beis, what we're saying. That's it. For now, let's say like this. So there's a we're saying over here that the Gemara, there's a machlokes. I'm sorry, the Gemara says that by Heter Bola, if you use direct on the fire, you could do Hagol instead of Libun. The Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish say, and it's others say it as well, that the Gemara that says you can do Hagolah means even after it became nicer. You don't have to do to say that you can do Hagolah on Kalim used for Kachim, you don't have to do it when it's still Heter, you can do it even when it's nicer. The Mishnah Berurah says and the Chazon Ish is even clearer. Okay, so we'll see Svaras in a second. Just for the understanding of that's what he's. Okay. So now. This now, L'inyan, how it comes to Hilchos Pesach, there's a very, large and well known Machlokes Rishonim. The Ravid says that the Gemara says if you're Balei Heter, then you, instead of doing Libun, you could do Hagol. So the Ravid says that the reason for that is because when you have a Blia into a Kli, so we're gonna talk it in the way they talk it, whatever this means. Blia, if you cook something in water, the Blia goes into a certain depth into the Kli. Okay, it's absorbed a certain amount. The Hagol takes that out. If you do it with Libun, it's absorbed even deeper into the Kli. This is the kind of words that he uses. It goes even deeper into the Kli. So those deeper Blias, you have to do Libun to get those, to get rid of those deeper Blias. So, he says, the little bit of Blias...
You're burning it out. You're not extracting it. You're burning it out.
Yes, that's correct. You are burning it out. Yes, right. You're right about that. but you're in, it's different. I just need to get rid of it in one way or the other.
Right.
So those bleeds that are in the deeper level, the amount that gets for leaving, that deeper amount is does not, if the bleed was heter, then those little bit of bleeds don't make a difference. Okay? It doesn't explain exactly why. It says the deeper amount that would go in only through Libra, at that lower level, if it went in as Hester, that doesn't cause a problem. It doesn't clearly explain what the issue is. But he does say is, it only depends on how it went in. If it went in as Hester, if I remember he says it as that big, if the Bleas that went in as Hester, they went in Mutter, and I don't remember how he says it. But he's clear that it just depends on what it is when it went in. And he says, therefore, if you would have, not only would it be by kachim, but he has other cases. If you have meat, or kosher milk, or chametz, then it would be considered heter. I cook chametz in a pan. I made toast in my toaster. The bleah went in right on the fire, but the bleah that went in was heter. I'm allowed to use chametz now, just like I'm allowed to use kachim on the day that you shot through the carbon. So it went in as heter, and therefore you could get it out with hagol. That's what the writer holds. The Ramban and many other Rishonim has a lot of kashas on him, and some from various scholars even, all kinds of kashas on him, and they learn like this. It doesn't depend if it went in as heter. It's that once the bleas that are deep in can't change their status. They're too small. It's like a pachas mikashir. It's too small to change status. So if it went in as kachim, it can't turn into nicer when it's in there. It went in as basar, it can't turn into basar b'chola. That little bit that's in the deeper level, that only goes in from libun, that goes in through direct fire, that part that goes deeper in can't change status. So it can't become from kachim into nicer. It can't go from basar into basar b'chola. But if it goes in and doesn't have to change status, then it becomes usher without changing status, then it stays. Then it can usher. Meaning, if you have chametz, if I made toast in my toaster today, The chametz that's in there is chametz already today. Just today happened to be allowed to eat chametz. When it comes to Pesach time, I'm not allowed to eat it. So nothing had to change in the status of the bleah that's in there. So since nothing had to change in the status, it went in as chametz and it didn't have to change. It stayed chametz. Then that kli would be leaving because I have to get those bleahs out because they're chametz in there. If I put kachim into there, so I put kachim in, I'm allowed to eat kachim. I'm just not allowed to eat nicer. It never changes into nicer. It doesn't change. The things that are deep in don't change in. The things that are not so deep in, the things that go into our goals do change. But the little bit that gets on the bottom, that doesn't change. So he holds that according to the Ravid, the din of heter bala means that for chametz also, if you use them directly on the fire, you don't have to do libun. Okay, so you can catch your toaster with hagol. According to the Ravid. So the Mechaber, who's saying this din here in Hilchos Pesach, who's saying that you have to, if you use a shvut, use a spit for right on the fire, you have to do leibun, is because he's passing like the Ramban. See, like most Rishonim are passing like the Ramban, that even if chametz is not considered heter, chametz is considered isser, because when it went in, it was already chametz, and therefore, if you use a kli for directly on the fire, for chametz, you have to do leibun to it. Okay, that's what is going on here in this din, which seems at first glance, you say, of course you have to do leibun. Really, he's passing like the Ramban, and those Rishonim, that there's, that chametz is not considered heter. Okay, now, it's worth noting, we'll see in a different week, the Ramah is mitzdarif, the Ravid, in certain cases, and the Mishnah, in certain cases, we will be samach on the Ravid that chametz is heter, and the Mishnah Berurah says if a person, by mistake, used a kli, they had done hagol instead of libun, and then they used it on Pesach, b'makom hefzeh meruva, and b'makom that is ene b'nyamer, which is usual anyhow, and a whole bunch of things that you could also be making on be samach on the Ravid. The Ravid that we're saying would not pass on the Ravid, in certain cases, we'll see the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah himself is mitzarefit to other things. Okay, so it's worth knowing what it's negated to is that if the kli was used directly on the fire, that you really have to leave it to kasher. If you just did hagolah, you can get away with less, and you don't have to do you. The Rambam would hold you did enough to kasher. We'll have other. We have real from the Rambam. We'll have real nafkaminis to the sheet of the Rambam. Okay, we're not going to get that today. It's worth noting, but there's another type of kli that needs libun. We said the kind of kli that needs libun is a kli that you use directly on the fire. Right? This is what we're talking about. You use a shvut. You put the toast or the steak right onto the fire, right onto the kli. That's right over the fire. That's over the fire. But there's another kind of kli that needs. There's another kind of kli that needs libun, and that is there's another kli which is a kli cheres. There, if you use a kli cheres, you need libun not because you use directly on the fire. Even if I cook up a put hot product into a kli cheres, I need to make hot libun also. That there is no kula for heter bala from cheres. Okay, the cool of Heter Bol only means that if you did it directly on the fire, you don't have to leave when you could do Hagol. But if you did Heter on a Klicheris, everyone agrees that you have to leave one. And not only does everybody say that, but of course, the Chavis Das. What? Well, so the question is, should you say, well, just like Hagola takes it, we say that the Blia that Hagola takes out from something used directly on the fire takes out so much of the Blia that what's left is not a problem. So we say for Cheres also, Hagola should take out so much that what would be left would be Mutter also, if it was a terrible. But some bleas come out. So should we maybe say the same thing? So you could think that just like by Liban, if you clearly use directly on the fire, you have to Liban to get it all out, and Hagol doesn't work. But Hetera, Hagol does work. So maybe here also Hagol should work. So it does.
What's the Chalav Shan Ramban? He's saying it doesn't change kinetic.
Yes, okay.
So then, why does it do Hagolah at all?
Because it's only the deep parts that don't change status. I mean, the little bit that's so deep in that only can come out with Liban, that little bit doesn't change status. But the main Blia, the Blia that's more in the bulk of the Blia, which is the Blia that comes out with Hagolah, that can change status.
Interesting.
Yes, yeah, I can't tell you what that means. I mean, we're using the words that they use to talk about deeper in and less deep in. I don't know what that means.
Hagolah doesn't get out enough at all.
Right. No, I'm saying, so you might think it, but the thing is that it's not true. And if you think about it for a second, the Chavetah is obvious. The Chavetah says this whole thing of a terrible came from the Psukim, that the Psukim by Kachim don't say anything about leaving. Well, the Psukim by Kachim say, Klicheris and Shetavusha. What does it say? It says, the Imba Klicheris Bushola, Umorak Bushuta for mine. It says, if you use a Klicheris, no, I'm sorry. So that's for a different process. I'm sorry. But it says, maybe it doesn't say. Okay, anyhow. I take it back what I'm saying. Okay, anyhow, so that's accepted that it does, this thing doesn't work for Hagolah. That doesn't work for Klicheris. Now back to something that we talked earlier about last week. This is related to this, and like this. But Vosner says like this. He brings from some Rishonim that the amount of Blia, this thing that we're talking about, that there's the Hagolah amount of Blia, and then on the bottom there's like a deeper amount that only has to come out through Liban. He says, he brings some of Ritva, that Blia is so minuscule, that it's not enough to even be nice and tam into the food. Okay, that Blia, the main Blia, is a nice, sizable Blia that would be nice and tam. That little Blia is such a minuscule Blia, it's not going to be nice and tam. So, Frechter draws the obvious question. He says, well, wait a second. And Ravaza elaborates on this, and he brings it sort of from a prim level. He says, wait a second. If the Blia is so little, what are you taking it out for altogether? Who cares? Let's leave the Blia in there. Why do you have to get Blias out altogether? If the little bit that only comes out through Liban is such a little bit that it can't be nice enough, who cares? Who needs this Blia out? Who has to get the Blia out altogether? To which he says, surprise, surprise, the Ritva says, the Torah teach, when the Torah says that you have to leave Liban, it's teaching us something like this. It's saying, if the Blia that went in originally was enough to be nice and tam, then you must remove every speck of that Blia. I'm getting that. You have to remove every drop of the Blia. You can't just remove enough to not be nice and tam. Once there was enough, there's a custom. Once there was enough to be nice and tam originally, you have to remove all of it, even the amounts that would not be nice and tam. So that's it. How about if it's Ainu Binyamin?
No. What had the Ainu Binyamin?
Okay, good question. I'm not sure. Okay, it's a fair question.
What do you mean?
See, he said, so if we have a din.
It's not only, but it's like Tom Town. So, it's only a
problem. No. If it's exerus question that once the Blia goes in, you must remove it out. And aside from the rules of Tom Kicker, aside from the fact that the Tom will make your food trade, you have to have a separate reason, you have to get it out. So, why don't I have to get it
in? You believe that every player has a Thomas Rock. You have to believe that
Thomas Rock. Okay, maybe. Okay.
But why would it have to kill you? Why would it have to kill you?
So, So this is what the Ritva says. It's Xeris HaKosu. The din of Levin is Xeris HaKosu. That even if you have a Blia, if you had a Blia that was originally enough to be nice in time, then you have to get at the whole Blia, even the part that was not. That's not going to be nice in time. Okay? Now, this would explain, answer his question, which was, we asked last week, we talked about it, how could it be then that if there's rust on a cleat, you have to take the rust off and take it out, how much Blia could it be under the rust? A little bit of Blia. Why don't we say that, like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shefa said, why don't we say that it's Osler Shtamish B'Shefa? That little bit of Blia that's under there will be Osler Shtamish B'Shefa. Okay, well, according to the Rebbe, we have an answer. Because there's a difference. Also, the Shtamash B'Shefa means that the original bliya that went in was not enough to ask for the food. The whole bliya in this whole kli is not enough that could ever ask for the food. So if the bliya that went in there originally is not enough to ask for the food, then you don't have to take it out. The Rebbe says it's clear. When the bliya that went in originally was enough to ask for the food, then you have a chiyuv keter on every last little bit. But if the bliya that went in originally was not enough to ask for the food, it was such a small bliya, so then that's the rule of us in the Shtamash B'Shefa.
Okay, the bliya of Tashmish B'Shefa also is enough to ask for the food. That is to put so much in.
In this part, there isn't a way that this could ever ask for. So I never got started into the parts of Havos Kelim, so I don't have to do anything. But once I get started, the rules are now, you would think you only have to get a certain amount of bliya. The third time, you have to get up the whole bliya. Okay, so this is what he says, and that would answer the only problem with it is, it would answer the theory between the din of also the Shtamash B'Shefa and the din of Rus. It would answer the theory. There's only one problem. It would put Rabbi Belsky on the wrong side of the din, because Rabbi Belsky was saying it even in the case where there was a full bliya, you really did have the kasha. There was just one spot that you didn't have the kasha. Okay, but it's worse than that. Okay, which this
was last week.
This was last week. Yeah. So this would put Rabbi Belsky. It would answer the stira, putting Rabbi Belsky on the wrong side of the answer. The only thing is, I have to tell you is that Rabbi Belsky says, even though he says this from the Ritva, the Prima Gadim he brings. That the Prima Gadim says beferish that this is not true. He says, I forgot the word, I think it says Zeshibush or something like that. He doesn't mean the Ritva. He says, but it's not true. The Ritva is assuming that the amount of bleed that's left on the bottom, you know, the part that only Liban can get out, is so little that it won't be noise in top. The Prima Gadim says, that's not true. No, the amount of bleed that's in it would make the food trace. Maharaya, what's the din if you did only Hagol to a Kli that needs Liban? What's the din? You had a Kli that needs Liban, you did only Hagol, and then you used the Kli. What's the din?
But
the food is trace. The din is, many say, according to the brother, the din should be is that the food should be kosher. But yet the food should be kosher. He said, it's not true. The din is trace. So he said, so it's not true. And guess what? Not only does the Supreme Garden say it, not only does the Ravosan agree that the Supreme Garden says it, Ravosan says there's loads of Rishonim who say that also. Okay, so Ravosan is trying to say you could maybe be samech on that, maybe it could be samech on the Ritva, the Mokav Hesed and things like that. He's bringing it to say there is such a sheep as Rishonim. He wants to say that it's not a absurdity. Okay, but to say that so again, we're coming back to the same thing, which is this idea that that there may be a chiyuv to kasher or kli beyond the dinim of tam kicker. I mean, even if the tam that's in there can't trafe up your food, you have stam, you have a din, you have to kasher or kli anyhow. You might be mechuyev to continue the kashering until you get it all out. Is as we're seeing again, there is such an idea, but it seems to be coming out on the wrong side. It's coming out as the rishonim that are not accepted by halacha rather than the main sheetahs that we would accept. Okay, one more thing, which is like this. The Magen Avraham says over here, and it's really almost a beferish in Shulchan Aruch later, and you remember we spoke about that the case where the Eladik Hashem from Milchuk to Fleshings, where the Eladik Hashem back and forth from Milchuk to Fleshings, well, that din, the Mechaber, is talking about that you're doing Leibon Kal to the Kalim to go from Milchuk to Fleshings. That was the question revolved around the Mechaber who's talking about Leibon Kal. And the Magen Avraham says here, based on that din, and based on what we're saying, that if a kli is milchik, and you want to make it fleshik, so the bliya into the kli was hetera, right? You only absorb milk, or only absorb meat into the kli. So if you have a kli that absorbed meat right on the fire, you have a fleshik, broiling pan. Okay? You use it for meat, kosher meat used on it. So the bliya was hetera. You want to kasher this kli, you don't need to do libum. It's really a Gemara. The Gemara says by Hetera Bola, if it was Hetera, it was cooked in a Kli, right on the fire, you don't have to do Leibon, you can do Hagol. So the Magen Avraham says it over here, Rabbi Kvig says it over there, and it's a preparation in really a Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say the word straight out, but it's just basically in there. Because the Gemara says that Kachem is Hetera. We have a Machlokes whether Chametz is Hetera. And we pass the Chametz is not Hetera. Okay. But milk and meat, kosher milk and kosher meat are Hetera. So this is a very common question, which is a person took their frying pan, their fleshing of frying pan, by mistake they made cheese in it. Or the other, they took a milk of the frying pan and they made meat into it. Okay, so the people look at it, the first assumption is you look and you say, wait a second, it's a frying pan. Frying pan used right over the fire, you have to leave them. You can't leave them, it's not practical, so you have to throw it out, which is what you would say for Pesach. You have a frying pan, you can't catch it, so you can't use it for Pesach. But the truth is that it's not like that. If you have a flesh of a frying pan, and it was used when it was ain't a binyan, right, for milchuk, so it's not basar b'cholov, There's no bleis abasabal chol in this pan. The pan is fleshig, and the pan is nochigs. It was used on Sunday for meat. You make
bleis abasabal bread.
So you made a breaded schnitzel on Sunday. So now the pan has bleis of meat in it. Then on Wednesday you went ahead and you made something with cheese in it. Okay, you made an egg with cheese in it in the same frying pan. So now this pan is not possible chol because it was ene binyan. The meat was ene binyan by the time the bleis of meat were ene binyan by the time you did the milk. So it has bleis of basar, it has bleis of cholov, and they were in ways that are right on the fire, but it doesn't need libun. It needs hagolah. Because both of those things are heter. You can't use it for either. You can't use it for milk because it has fleshig bleis. You can't use it for You can't use it the other way either. It has both bleis in it. But if you want to do hagolah to it, that's fine. You can kasher it by doing hagolah because the bleis went in as heter. So bleis of heter that are directly on the fire can be taken out with hagolah. So a frying pan like that can be kashered with hagolah. Okay. So if people have called like that, when they happen, you have to just remind them, take them, even though you could do hagolah today, you can't do this if it becomes certain kinds of treif or for Pesach. You know what I mean? People just say, oh, I was told I kasher like this. So that's in a home where the milk and the meat are kosher, okay? But when you move to a factory, the kind of case is like a belt or a baking tin that you put the food right onto it. Usually, we're kashering not because it's kosher, we're kashering because it was treif. Okay, so there, if it was treif, you need to have libun. I mean, usually you can't kasher. But there's a very specific shaila, which you're probably familiar with. I'll talk it out to explain one part of it, which is like this. Lots of the things that we kasher from are from milchigs to paris, and companies from milchigs to paris. So the company, we certify both the milchigs and the paris, but today they're making muffins that are dairy, and tomorrow they want to make muffins that are paris. So the question is, the milk that's in there is not just milchigs. It's not just a question of it being milchigs and fleshigs, that milk is heter. There's another question, which is that the milk is chol stam. And there are people who are going to eat our paris product. People who will buy the power product who don't eat chol stam. For the people who eat chol stam, so there's no issue of chol vakum, they eat it, they hold it smother. As far as the milchigs of it, milchigs is heter, and you can kasher with hagolah, with libun kal. You don't need to do libun to it. You can kasher like that, because as far as they're concerned, there's nothing wrong with the things. But what about the other person who only eats, who doesn't eat chol stam? So for him, how should we judge this pan that has to be kasher now?
We don't care.
What do you say?
We don't care.
You don't care what?
We don't care about that person.
You don't care about that
person. That's the way it is in all organizations. Okay. Why are you only asking about this? Then you could ask about 212 walls, though.
That what?
The people are makbid on 212, and they get an item that says on it parv. How do they know that it was, maybe it was talking about
one thing? Okay, good. Okay, good.
So the organizations don't care across the board.
Can I say it a little softer than we don't care? Not that we don't care. It's that, I'm going to say it a little softer. This is one position, which is a hashgacha has to pass him lots of shilas. They have to make decisions about how to do things. They can't possibly, it would be ridiculous to say we should be machmir about everything. Or put a long tefillin on the side of the candy bar of all the shilas that went into it. So we have to pass on certain shilas. So the hashgacha passed on some shilas. And you have to take, you have to accept it as if you're eating our hashgachas because you're willing to accept that we pass on the shilas the way that it's good for you. So just like we pass on the chol stam heter, and we therefore will pass in that Indian kashrut, we can kashrut on that level also. As if the chol stam was heter, we can kashrut on that. That's one attitude. Okay? I think it's a little soft to think we don't care about them. It's that we had to make a decision, and the decision was this way. This one is not even a secret. You know we certify lots of chol stam, so we make that decision. That's what we do. That's one. Rabbi Belsky has a very different position. He says, no, hashgachos don't take a position on whether chol stam is mutter. We're not taking a position. We service the whole community. We service some people who want chol stam by giving them chol stam. We service some people who want not chol stam by giving them chol v'shol or by giving them para foods. We service lots of different groups of people. So when we service the people with chol stam, we give them to their standard. When we service the people who want, chol v'shol, or they want para that's not chol stam at all, we have to use a different standard. So those people, when we service them, the hashgacha hasn't taken a position. Hashgacha is neutral about the question of chol stam. They let everybody know that when we write OUD, it's like writing, CRCD, we're writing OUD chol stam. And everybody knows that it's like an open secret that that's what it is, and therefore we're just helping those people. We haven't taken a position on that job. Great. That's what he says.
But that's not the question. The question is when it says CRC or OU.
Right.
Others,
so he's saying it's
anything.
Your thing is.
Then we don't know what's going on behind it.
Right. So you. One way of looking at it was that the CRC took a position that Chol Stam is mutter, and then we can use that position even when we deal with the power of the product. And he says, no, we never took a position on that issue. We didn't take any position. We just hold. We helped some people by providing them with Chol Stam without officially making a decision that Chol Stam is mutter. Okay, now.
Going back to the belts, so you say that the belts, in the case of Libun, you can't do it, so what do you do in the company?
So, as a rule, the belt that goes through the fire, through the oven, and it has direct contact with the food, has to be replaced.
Has to be replaced.
Yeah. There is such a thing as kashrut doing Libun to them. It's not realistic. Maybe we'll talk about that a different time. There is a way to possibly do it, but basically it's not possible. So it's only for the belt that goes through the fire.
And then if there's hetera, then you could do hagala.
Or Libun Kal.
Could you do hagala to belt?
Yeah, sure you could. It's easier to hagala to belt. And Libun Kal is even easier. Running through the oven, if you do it right, just running the belt through the oven might do Libun Kal.
Uh-huh.
So if we say your way, which is we decided that Chol Stam is heter, right, so then we have it easy. It'll be easy to cash this thing. We didn't make that decision. Now, to which Rabbi Shapton says, what are you talking about? You didn't make a decision that Chol Stam is heter. We certify tens of thousands of products at Chol Stam. We didn't take a position. He says, we take positions on 100 other things. Like you said, we passed them 1,000 other shiles. So you think that we didn't, by passing 1,000 other shiles, why is this shile different than any other? Just because this one is public. So people happen to know about this, and there's a way to know whether I'm getting the shile or not. I can know if it says D or if it doesn't, well, I'm getting the
shile. I think Belty means that, and this I think is the main issue, and that most people will not be aware, if somebody's not going to be called so, who's going to think, hey, it's part, it's good for me. It's not the foursome that you might have a problem with part if you only called yourself. Totally not foursome, if you want to be a foursome and change your vote, fine. But right now, everybody's going to claim it that it's okay.
Well, there's not a
way to do that.
The part of it has to be the child's stamp, and that's only possible it's a stamp, and you just happen not to know the child, but if you know, you enjoy your
name. No, but he's saying is here, this is something that I do know that I don't want to eat those foods that have the D on it, because I know I don't want to eat that food. So you've tricked. So Yossi is
mutter. I'm thinking now on a popular shayla and say, too bad. You have to be done to some extent on the hechsher, but these people don't want to be done. They say, I want to be makbar al chalvakim. With all the whole other, there's all chalvakim. So you can't, people don't know.
So Yossi is mutter.
But checking 212, the minute people understand now, it doesn't say 212.
It is an
odd. It's okay.
But
they're right on the kosher of 212.
So Yossi is mutter.
So people, even 212, no, they can't assume that
it's,
anything
is. So Yossi is mutter. Rabbi Shechta says, even though he holds that the OU did paskin, and they really hold that Chol Stam is heter, he's like, what kind of a joke to say that we don't hold the Chol Stam is mutter? He says it's like a joke, but he says, we're misleading the public. The public who buys powerful products thinks that they're getting not the OU Chol Stam stuff, they're getting the OU things that are not Simachon the Kul of Chol Stam. They're bedafka buying it. So not off the din of the Hagol's Kalem of it, but because we're misleading the person by giving him food that he doesn't expect to eat. But he doesn't know your thing. He doesn't know about tartaric acid. We didn't mislead anybody. He is uninformed. He asks us for food. We give him food. What we think is mutter. We don't have to explain to him everything because he can know. But here he knows that he doesn't want the food, so we're misleading him by giving him something that's made the wrong standard. Now,
this is
Rabbi Shechta. But Rabbi Shechta says like this. You're going to laugh when I explain to you what's going on here. Ramosha says like this. If a kli is ain't a binyomi, and you cook food in a kli that's ain't a binyomi that was never kashered, Ramosha says that food is mutter l'chatchila. It's not mutter b'dieved. If you put a drop of isser into food, it's mutter b'dieved because the isser is bottle. If I use a kli that's ain't a binyomi, the food is mutter l'chatchila. Just that you have an isser on you, you're not allowed to use a kli that's in a binyamah. It's the gzeir, the chazal said, don't use kli that are in a binyamah because you might by mistake use them in the binyamah. So you have an isser to not use the kli. But the food has nothing to do with the food. The food is kosher l'chatchila to eat that food. So the store owner or the hashkocha has a responsibility to kosher the kli. That's we're the ones who he has to do it, and we are the surrogates to take the responsibility to make sure that it's done. So we have a responsibility to kashrut the kli, but the food, if it's ain't a binyamah, is kosher. So Rabbi Shechta says, if we have a kli that was used for, we made milchigo cookies on it, an oven belt that uses milchigo cookies, and we wait for that belt to be ain't a binyamah, If we make parv cookies on that belt now, the cookies are kosher l'chatchila. The people who eat nachol stam, they can eat it l'chatchila. We're giving them food that's kosher l'chatchila. We're doing our responsibility to them to give them food that's kosher l'chatchila. Now, we have to answer for ourselves. Hey, you can't use that belt without kashering it. We can't let the owner use that belt without kashering it. This is now a personal responsibility. The owner and we as his overseers have to have responsibility to make sure that he kashers his belt. You're not allowed to use belt without kashering. Okay, we collectively, as the Hashkafa say, we hold that Chol Stam is Heter. It's just milk. There's no Isser involved in this thing. We, to satisfy our responsibility to kasher, we will kasher with as a Teira belt. So if the Kli is Ein Binyamin, then, to the consumer, we're not misleading anybody. We're giving them food that's kosher l'chatchila. And as far as our responsibility, we've done our responsibility by doing a hagol or a leaven cup.
So now, what do you do? So by a belt, you're just wasting stuff in your
by a belt that's from milk, not a belt that's safe. A belt that was milked,
right.
Well, Rabbi Shem, so we'll tell you that. As Rabbi
Shem. And Ein Binyamin would cost it with trace, then?
No. Because if it's Ein Binyamin from trace, then the food is kosher l'chatchila, but we haven't done our responsibility to kosher the belt. We have to kasher. You can't kasher a belt with Haggalah.
It's
Yisurabala. But if the belt was Belaya, what we consider to be Heter, because it's called Stam, we consider it to be Heter. So our responsibility is to kasher this Heter. Heter can be kasher with Haggalah, or with Leibon Kalb. But if it was Belaya.
You're saying that for the consumer it's okay.
It's kasher l'chatchila. So we wait for the belt to be.
Even with Yisurah. For the consumer.
It would be kosher l'chatchila. Yes. The food would be kosher l'chatchila. Yes. Yes. The food would be kosher
l'chatchila. Yes. That answers the 212 issue also. It was just kosher one night. As long as we're making sure it's Ein Binyamin.
If
it's okay.
If it's Ein Binyamin. If it's Ein Binyamin. No, see, because there are people who will do 190 to do a pekima also. First, they'll use it. There'll be 2 hours to shape the kosher.
Pekima doesn't work though.
Right. So that's that's not as clear cut. Now, I have to just say. So Rabbi Shapta is quoted as saying. As quoted as saying that since we hold Chol Stam is Heter, therefore you can kasher with Leibon Kalb or Hagol or such a belt, that's not really what he said. He doesn't say that you can kasher it. He says you have to wait for it to be Ein Binyamin and then you can kasher it. Because he's not ignoring the people who want the Chol Stam. He's not saying we don't care about you. Right? He's not saying that. He says we want to make sure we don't want to mislead you. So he actually says either it has to be Ein Binyamin and then have Leibon Kalb, or for his purposes he says you can do Leibon Kalb and then be Ein Binyamin. Now, for example, the company works 5 days a week. On Friday, when they finish production, they could do Leibon Kalb, and then not produce until Monday. Because what he needs is it has to be Ein Binyamin, that the guy who's eating the power pilot who wants not Chol Stam can eat that food. That's what he wants. Okay, so now, I'm sorry if I'm missing.
What do they do, in fact, do?
As a rule, they follow Rabbi Shapta on this. But there are people who have asked the question or revealed to you who therefore will not do that. Okay? But as a rule, they do follow Rabbi Shapta's
letter. So if the RC keeps hold of Israel,
yes.
Is he...
No.
Is he allowed to do this?
Yes, because the RCs, for better or for worse, see themselves as representatives of the organization. They do what the organization wants. I have to tell you something.
No, that's actually the organization.
That's correct. That's correct. It's Sean's name on the paper, not mine. Okay, so now.
He keeps telling me, so I don't know what to do.
Okay, now, I have to tell you something. I forgot to mention that within the. This is just a side point, and I have one last thing to say is that within the people who don't eat Chol Stam, okay, there's two different groups of people. Okay? Many of the people who don't eat Chol Stam say the din is that this food is kosher. That's the din. But it's a milah to not eat Chol Stam. And Moshe says himself, found that for Jachman and not eat this food. They personally see that as
their shayla might be us.
What?
Because
for example, Rav Henkin says that a person who doesn't eat Chol Stam can eat from the kelim of somebody who doesn't eat Chol Stam. Okay? So it's a that's how some people's attitude is that I don't eat it, but I don't think that it's straight. I don't as a paskin as straight. But that's my so these people wouldn't even have their shayla altogether. They really hold, so to speak, in din that it's mutter. And then there's a different group of people who hold that no, it's a mistake to think that it's mutter, and it's really usher, completely usher. Okay, they're the people who we're talking about. Those group of people is what we're talking about.
I mean I did call Akim Akim's case. If it's also the kelim, also for sure.
So that's just making the thing that it's really minadin, it's mutter, and it's a hakpada. You don't have to take it to that extent to even ask the kelim. That's what he's saying.
Now, I don't know if it's a
company, right? The maker doesn't have to cash altogether.
Yes. Right.
Why? Because Tom killing any binyan?
No. If it's any binyan.
Because he doesn't have the zeh of halal, or any binyan of yemen.
That's the shuva where he says any binyan is kashrut l'chatchila, and therefore it's just on the corner.
That's kashrut by itself.
Yes.
And therefore, the main gun is not to kash. It's not the mechul at all, right? And now you have the shayla with the bichlal the thing is also. Okay.
I agree.
So by the next thing you have to kash also.
See, that one last thing I have to say. It's just. This is not a question. It's just interesting to note, which is. I just told you that Rabbi Shechter says, since when Ein Binyan, the food is kosher l'chatchila, therefore, if it's Ein Binyan, you can do this whole ches, and you can do kosher as hetera. Okay? Well, that itself is not something that everybody would agree to. So the Hashgach is taking a position on that. They're taking a position to accept what Ramosha says, that it's clear that Ein Binyan, the food is kosher l'chatchila, not that it's kosher b'di yechid. Because the food is kosher l'chatchila, that's not a obvious thing. Not everybody agrees to that. So, not there's something wrong with that. I'm just saying, it's just funny. Here we're saying we're trying to satisfy everybody's purposes, and here's an example right here in the middle of the story that by no means are we going to satisfy everybody. There are people who will not be satisfied.
I don't have a name.
I'm not saying this as a kasha, because it's of course that the Hashkafas have to take positions on things. It's just interesting to note that right here in the middle of our saying, we don't want to too much push a position on people, and they should get what they get. But really, it's Rabbi Shechter's not looking at it like that. He's looking at it after the people believe, like you said, they look at it and say, I don't want Kol Stam, I want to buy the stuff that's not Kol Stam. They think that they're getting not Kol Stam, so for that, we have to address what they think they get. Okay?